During the Depression years, there was a sheep ranch owner, or owners, I should say, a couple, Ira and Ann Yates. They were located in West Texas. West Texas was kind of a dry, parched area in the first place, and in an area that now has a town named after them. Ira and Ann, the name of the town is actually Irianna, and putting the two names together. But it wasn't always so positive for them. Sheep farming hadn't proved very profitable for them. And they were in danger of losing their ranch, and they had little money for food, they had little money for clothes, and so they were on the government's subsidies that were out there. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, Mr. Yates was no doubt greatly troubled by how he would pay his bills. And then a seismographic proof from an oil company happened to come into the area and told him there might be oil on his land. Would he mind if he were to check? And they asked permission to drill a wildcat well there, and he signed a lease contract for them. And at 1,115 feet, they struck what turned out to be a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels of oil a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large as that. In 1929, one well blew out with a spectacular flow of more than 200,000 gallons of oil a day, setting a world record at that point. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, one of the wells still had the potential of flow of 125,000 barrels a day, and Mr. and Mrs. Yates now own all of it. The very day he purchased the land, he had received the oil and mineral rights, even though he didn't know what was laying under that land. And yet he'd been living on government relief. He was a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem was he didn't know the oil was there, even though he already owned it. We're in a series now called the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the third member of the triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And last couple of weeks, we've looked at the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the power that can be in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Yet many Christians still live in spiritual poverty today. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Other versions say, "Do not be ignorant about the Holy Spirit." John MacArthur, pastor in California, said, "No local congregation will be what it should be, what Jesus prayed that it would be, what the Holy Spirit gifted it and empowered it to be, until it understands spiritual gifts." Yet according to one study, 87% of Christians today know absolutely nothing about their spiritual gifts. They know nothing about what gifts they may have or even what gifts are out there. See, Paul says, first off, I don't want you to be uninformed. And yet almost 90% of Christians don't know. How many spiritual gifts listed in Scripture could you come up with today? If we were to pass out paper and pen, could you come up with what, 10, 5, 3? You know, how many spiritual gifts could you come up with? Not only don't most of us know what our spiritual gifts are, we don't even know how they're supposed to function in our lives. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, has given you gifts that continue to be hidden and unused in your life. Here's this treasure trove, this power base that we can tap into, and we don't, because we either don't know what our gifts are or we are inclined not to use them. In verse 4, Paul continues saying this: "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work." The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is out there with spiritual gifts at our beckoning, at our using, if we would only do so. Spiritual gifts are to be used within the church, to be used for the church, to encourage one another and for the world beyond. Verse 7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And the New Living Translation says, "given to each of us so we can help each other." The spiritual gifts are for our benefit as a church, as a body of Christians, right? This passage tells us not only what the gifts do, but who the gifts are from. It's from God. It's through God, the Holy Spirit. The church is a diverse place. There's no denying that. There's a whole lot of differences in the body. We're a small group, and yet we have those differences too. Some of us have grown up in a church. We were raised in a Christian home, and we've stayed in the church all our lives. Some of us were raised in a Christian home, but we went through a time where we rebelled against God, and we turned away from Him. Some of us didn't even find a relationship with God until much later, when we were married and had kids. And some of us just recently finding God. Some of us are wealthy, others of us are broke. We have different interests, we have different ways of thinking, different priorities. We have different jobs, we have different hobbies, different pasts, different experiences in our lives. Yet that is where the spiritual gifts come in. They can create unity in a diverse body. Spiritual gifts, if we use our spiritual gifts correctly, makes us one complete, functioning, fully functioning Christian body. Notice that all Christians are receiving the spiritual gifts, and all spiritual gifts are useful. See, Satan and all of his dominion wants you to keep your hidden gift. Stay hidden. He wants you to keep your unused gifts still unused, so that the gift your Father has given you is not useful to build up the body of Christ and to minister to people all around the world. Before moving forward, I think it's good that we talk about what the spiritual gifts are not, so we can better understand maybe what they are. Five things spiritual gifts are not. Number one, spiritual gifts are not natural talents. You know, when you're born, God gives you natural talents. You may be gifted, naturally gifted to sing or gifted to dance or be good with numbers. Talent is God's gifted ability you're born with. My talent, for instance, is being able to tell really funny jokes. And apparently that was one of them, yeah. So, but we have natural talents, talents that we're born with. You ever heard of the term child prodigy? These are young people blessed with unbelievable intelligence or amazing artistic talent or seemingly unnatural physical abilities. We've all heard stories about 12-year-olds graduating from medical school or a 6-year-old playing concert-worthy classical music on the piano. We know of folk like Mozart. Mozart learned to play the piano at the age of 4. He composed his first piece of music at 5, and at age 8, he wrote his first symphony. Tiger Woods had his first TV appearance when he was 2 years old because of his great talent and prowess at golf that was already seen at that point in his life. You may have heard of a young man named Michael Kearney. He received natural attention when he earned $1 million on the television game show Gold Rush. He spoke his first words himself when he was 4 months old. He had learned to read at the age of 10 months age. Michael finished high school at age 6. Puts me there to shame very quickly, and earned his first college degree at age 10, and he actually began teaching college by the age of 17. And it's true that people like Mozart and Picasso and Tiger Woods had parents that helped them to develop their gifts, but clearly they were gifted at birth with these abilities, above and beyond those of the average person. Although their stories astound us, such gifted individuals are very rare. They're the exception to the rule. The vast majority of us are astoundingly average. And yet, as I look at you today, I can say with confidence that if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you, each of you, is gifted by God. Before you deny being gifted, remember, I'm not the one saying you're gifted. It was God's word. God says it of you, and God cannot lie. Spiritual gifts are not our natural talents. You receive your natural talent when you're physically born, but you receive spiritual gifts when you are spiritually born. Number two, spiritual gifts are not only not talents, they're not learned skills as well. A skill is an expertise which you develop by study or practice over time. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents or learned skills. Now, your spiritual gifts can complement your talents and skills. They can work together. God can use all of them, but there's a difference between our talents and our skills and our spiritual gifts. Thirdly, what they're not, spiritual gifts are not given to the elite few. God doesn't say to this one group of Christians, you know, I really like you. I'm going to give you some powerful gifts, and you're going to be the most powerful Christians. And the rest of you, I really don't like you that much. Go sit in the corner. I'm not going to give you any spiritual gifts. The Bible says God gives all Christians spiritual gifts to do the work that they were prepared to do. Spiritual gifts are given to all Christians. There was not a single believer in Corinth listening to this passage as we are reading it, and could say he or she had no spiritual gift to use in service to God and to others. Each of them had at least one gift to be used for serving others, for the common good for all. And each of us also has at least 1, 2, 3 spiritual gifts that God has for us at any given moment in time as we work out the plan that he has for us. The same truth applies to each and every one of us as well. The Holy Spirit has given us at least one gift of service for others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it's not on their slides, but Paul declared, we have different gifts according to the grace that he has given us. Yes, the spiritual gifts will vary from person to person. Some will be given lots of gifts. Some may even be given just one. But everyone is given some ability, some spiritual ability that is given specifically to be used in service to others. The fourth thing we know that is spiritual gifts are not signs of spiritual maturity. If you have a certain gift, a certain spiritual gift, it doesn't mean that you're more mature than someone who doesn't have that spiritual gift. Sadly, in a lot of Christian cultures today, some people elevate certain gifts to say, look, if you have this gift, then you're spiritually mature. And if you don't, well, you're kind of a lesser Christian. Oddly enough, the gift of speaking in tongues in many church cultures today is elevated to be the most important. Are you spirit-filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, they'll ask? If not, then you need to get on the ball. You're not in God's elite group there. People in some church cultures who don't speak in tongues, then they feel like second-class citizens, when in reality, Paul actually calls the gift of speaking in tongues the least of the gifts, of all the gifts. Yet, interestingly enough, we continue to move forward in that idea. Fifthly, spiritual gifts are not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are different from the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to be looking at them closer in the next couple of weeks. If you want to study, though, right now, the fruits of the Spirit, go to Galatians 5. There are nine of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit, but they're not the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes Christians will say, well, I just don't have the spiritual gift of love, or the spiritual gift of patience. Now, those aren't gifts. Those are fruits. All believers should exhibit all the fruits of the Spirit. That's our expectation. But all believers do not have all the gifts of the Spirit. Those are two different things between gifts of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit. Paul goes on from there to give some examples of spiritual gifts. As I reread these verses, listen not only to the list of spiritual gifts he includes, but also listen for the number of times Paul repeats the truth that they are gifts from the Holy Spirit to God's holy people. 1 Corinthians 12, 8-11. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The list I just read to you again is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it's not by any means a complete list of spiritual gifts that are out there. Paul lists more in Romans chapter 12. He says in verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach them well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it all the more gladly. There are other passages in the scriptures that we won't go over today. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 mention more spiritual gifts that we might be given. And while all these different passages tell us about spiritual gifts, list the various spiritual gifts, we're still left with one question. Why? Why the spiritual gifts exist at all? What are we supposed to do with them? Romans chapter 1 gives us a little bit of a glimpse. Verse 11, I long to see you, Paul says, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And we just read that it's God's Holy Spirit which provides and gives the spiritual gifts. And so this statement is easy to misunderstand. And in our English translations, it's almost misleading. We've seen that Paul is saying he longs to come to the Romans so that he can give them some spiritual gift to make them strong. But that's not really what Paul is saying at all. Paul doesn't mean I want to give you a gift like our English translations might make it appear. Again, we already know the spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. The word he uses here implies more that he wants to help by using his gifts to encourage and strengthen the church. He isn't saying he wants to give them a gift. He wants to encourage them by sharing with them what he can bless them with his spiritual gifts. So we see the purpose of spiritual gifts is for the strengthening of others. Understanding their purpose helps us understand the spiritual gifts a little bit better, but it still doesn't answer the question of why we have them in the first place. So Romans 1 tells us what spiritual gifts are. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us the effect the gifts have on us and on the church. Romans 12 tells us the reasons we have the gifts. But why, again, do spiritual gifts exist in the first place? I think we'll find more detail here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Everything you do by using your spiritual gifts brings glory to God. That is the reason we have our spiritual gifts. They exist so we can use them. They exist so that we can serve others. In so doing, they create unity and they display the amazing grace and love of our Father God. But they exist for the purpose of being used. Hiding them, holding on to them for a later use is not what God's purpose was. He wants us to use the gifts that he has given us. Gifts are given to be given and shared, not hoarded away in a corner or in a closet somewhere. We have gifts so that we can serve more effectively, so we can worship more sincerely and live for God with greater intimacy. That's how we use the spiritual gifts. So how do we find out what our spiritual gifts are? There are lots of ways of trying to find out your spiritual gifts. One here on the screen, I'll give you a little link here, but there's a website that actually has a free online survey. You just fill out the questions they will actually give you a list of what they believe to be your spiritual gifts. But this morning, I wanted to give you my favorite way, a kind of a fun way of knowing which of these gifts you have. I call it the apple pie test. Ready? The apple pie test. We can do it right here in our seats. We don't need paper or anything else. Imagine you're at a table. You're a bunch of people. Everybody's got their pie served for dessert, right? And there's someone about to eat an apple pie, but their apple pie piece is right on the edge of the table, about to fall off into their lap. You see them put their fork in their apple pie, and sure enough, it flops right into their lap. What do you do? Because what you do, what you think you're going to do, helps to determine possibly what your spiritual gift is. How many of you would say, I could have told you that was going to happen, you idiot. You should have done that. I saw it coming. There are certain individuals. Point to that kind of person. If you For the sake of his innocence, I won't mention his innocence. Okay, well, if that's you, you have the gift of prophecy. How many of you, on the other hand, would say, oh, man, let me help you clean it up. Look, here's a napkin. Here, let's get this taken care of. How many of you are like that? Then you've got the gift of serving. Some of you might say, you know, I've really researched this. And really, there's a better way to eat an apple pie. Step one, if you have that gift, you have the gift of teaching. Right? Some of you would go, oh, that's so bad. I really, really feel bad for you. You know that happened to me before, too. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay. You throw it on yourself to make them feel better. If that's you, you have the gift of encouragement. If you would say, oh, here, take mine. And in fact, bring apple pie for everybody. And put whipped cream on it. How many of you would be doing that? You would be having the gift of giving, okay? The spiritual gift of giving. Those of you who would say, we can get this thing cleaned up in no time. You go get this. You guys go get that. I've got a vision for getting this thing better. You have the gift of leadership. Those of you would say, my heart sinks when it falls into your lap. I was hurting for you. I was hurting with you. And I'm just so devastated you're going through this right now. And if you're like that, see, I have no idea what you're talking about because I do not have this gift. If you're like that, you have the spiritual gift of mercy or showing kindness. See, how we apply ourselves to a various situation shows our spiritual gift. See, God does not give us gifts. We don't have gifts so that we can name them. We have gifts so that we can use them. Having a name for our spiritual gifts, having a list that we can check off really doesn't help if we don't use the gifts that God has given us. It's important for us to know and to be aware of our gifts so that we can put them to proper use. But it's also important that we do not get lost in trying to pin down and define our gifts, that we neglect to put them to use. Our focus, again, should not be on what name of the gift we have is. Our focus should be on using our gifts in every way we can to strengthen ourselves, our faith in others, and the world. Imagine this for a moment. I have four kids. One of them may have been pointed to earlier today. But I have four kids. What if I gave each, I thought about it really hard, and I gave each one of my four kids a personalized, special gift, a gift that would help them to better the world. One created specifically for Matthew, one created specifically for Jonathan, one for Stephen, one for Elizabeth. They were tailor designed, and I give them this gift. But imagine as a father, if I give them these gifts, but they don't think about them, they don't bother using them, they simply put them aside and they ignore them. Well, that's exactly what Christians around the world are doing. Their Heavenly Father has given them gifts, but they never use those gifts. We have all been given gifts. Our scripture readings today show us that we have been given spiritual gifts. The question for each and every one of us this morning is, are we using our gifts? Let us pray.